So I managed to get some time with Jeffrey Snover today, one of our technical fellows at Microsoft. Jeffrey, thank you for joining me. Say hello to everybody.
Hi, Sonia. How you doing? Welcome, everyone.
I'm great. Thank you so much for joining me today. Jeffrey, I mentioned your title in there, technical fellow, and for people who might not have been around how Microsoft organizes sort of our roles and titles, it's really darn impressive. So can you just explain to people what that means in terms of your roles and the kind of work you do at Microsoft?
Yeah, so basically, we have individual engineers have a parallel career track with managers. So basically, if you want to rise up the corporate ladder, you don't have to become a manager. You can stay an engineer, keep your hands in the code, and rise up. And so basically, technical fellow is the top of the technical ladder, and it's our equivalent of corporate vice president. And so we have, I guess, what, about 130,000 employees, and we've got 10 individual contributor technical fellows.
Wow, only one of 10. That's seriously impressive. And I just love that organizations recognize that there is a path for people to get to the very top of their careers and still be in a technical role and not necessarily have to go down that management track. So it's great,
I'm a
great to
very
see.
strong advocate of developers. Look, executives, they're awesome. They don't write any code. Developers write the code that run the business. So yes, it's wonderful that Microsoft recognizes that, values developers. Used to have an executive who'd jump up and down the stage yelling, "Developers, developers, developers." It's a real thing here. We understand the value of developers.
Absolutely. And so I first became aware of who Jeffrey Snover was because of your development of PowerShell, which of course we use very heavily as a code base tool for managing our infrastructure components. But you've moved on from PowerShell. You left that in really good hands, and you've been playing with something called the Microsoft Graph. Now, explain to me a little bit about this, because when I think of software development, I think of somebody like sitting down, writing code in whatever language it is. How does the Microsoft Graph differ from someone just sitting down and writing their own application from scratch?
Yeah, so the way to think about it is to really think through first, Microsoft Graph is M365. Okay, so that's the sort of Office products. And basically, what it does is we are building a people operating system. That's really the best way to understand it. Now, a people operating system, what is that? Well, if you think about it, an operating system has, it's complicated, but it's really simple. An operating system has three things, three missions. First is it manages resources and provides services. Those things are exposed through APIs and controls for developers. And then it provides a set of base applications and a way to get third-party applications. So most people, when they think about an operating system, they think about what, the only kind of operating system we've had, which is a device operating system. So when it manages resources, those resources are CPUs, disks, network cards. The services are things like printing and file open. And then the APIs, Win32, Common Controls, file open dialog box. And then the base applications, things that come with Windows, and then your ability to get new things through MSI or through the store. Okay, so you get an operating system in focus. Well, we're building an operating system for people. So why are we doing that? Well, the answer is it directly relates to the core mission of Microsoft. The core mission of Microsoft is to empower every person and organization to achieve more. So our people operating system is based upon M365. The resources that we manage are the people resources, the identities, their files, their chats, their conversations, their meetings, those things. The services we provide, well, they're services that connect people together. So they're chat services, calling services, meeting services, scheduling services, calendaring services. The API, you got it, MS Graph. MS Graph is the way we surface all of that. And we call it a graph because it's a REST API, and you can get to resources. But then here's where it becomes interesting, is it's not just, oh, we have all the resources exposed through REST API. We have all the resources and their relationship to one another. exposed through the API. So you can do graph traversal. So it makes it very easy way. I mean, that's when you think about how you want to write applications to connect people together, this graph becomes very important. And then the applications, obviously, are the existing applications, the ones you all use, Office applications. But then we're building an ecosystem of tools and extensions so that the whole world can provide applications to help bring people together.
That's
Did that make
really
any sense?
Cool. Yeah, look, I you had me up until about API. But as an ex-MVP, a Microsoft MVP with a focus on Office 365, I've seen the power of that platform as a productivity enabler. And as that platform has grown and we've brought on newer collaboration tools like Microsoft Teams, it's really amazing to think that we've actually got a way for developers to connect in to that productivity platform, because there is a wealth of data there in terms of how people are collaborating.
Exactly. You know, my boss once described it this way. He said, you know, if we think about IoT, right? So IoT, what's that? It says, oh, imagine the case of you put a sensor on a railroad track and you gather the telemetry from that sensor, and then think of all the, you know, compelling value that you can do from that, scheduling, maintenance, et cetera. He says, we already have one of the best sensors out there today, and that is the interaction of people, what things they're doing, what things they're focusing their attention, who they're interacting with, and the value, the amplification. I mean, there's only so much amplification you can do to a railroad track, but the amplification of people is unlimited. And so that's what we're trying to do. Now, here's an interesting point. This is where I'm so excited about Microsoft's position, because our head and our hearts are clear on this, right? Now, other people use information about you, right? They're trying to understand you to achieve some objective. And their objective, honestly, is to get you to click on an ad or to buy some product that you don't need. Our objective is very, very clear. We're trying to understand you, where you spend your time, what's important to you, so that why? To make you successful, to allow you and your organization to achieve more. And so we do that. So that's sort of the theory of the substrate. It's the thing we call the substrate. The idea of the substrate is we take all of the things that a person or organization, the artifacts of those people and organizations, and we put it into a common store. It's either originally there, emails, et cetera, or we have a digital twin there in the case of like OneDrive for Business. Okay, there you'll store the information in OneDrive that's actually stored in Azure Storage, but then we'll create a digital twin in the substrate. Why? Because once we have all the information in the substrate, we can then do things like common availability, durability, create relationships, information protection, security, privacy, etc. Now, when an item comes into the substrate, it undergoes management, right? Which is to say, we have something we call EBAs and TBAs, event-based actions, time-based actions. Event-based action, a file comes into OneDrive, we get a digital twin in substrate, an event-based action will go take a look at that, and we do all this big data analytics, all this AI to analyze that thing. What do we do with that AI? We either add additional properties to it, intelligent properties, or we'll create new entities, or we'll create new relationships between one of those entities. So let me give you an example, one of the ones I'm most excited about that we've announced at Ignite and we're showing more about here, and that is Cortex. So Cortex is a TBA, a time-based action. And so what we do is every now and again, we'll go and we'll sweep all of the artifacts of individuals and a company, and we'll look for knowledge, we'll look for topics, we'll look for projects, and we'll say, hey, here we think there's this project, like say the Fluid project that we announced here. We'll say, boy, there's lots of conversations and there's this term Fluid gets used a lot. We think it's a project. And here are all the key people working on Fluid, and here are all the documents associated with Fluid and the websites, et cetera. And then all of a sudden, now we have a synthetic node in this graph. So remember, I mentioned the graph, super useful, but the real power is to be able to traverse the graph, find something about a topic, navigate to the people, navigate from the people to the files. It allows incredible power.
But one of the things that is hard for any new employee in an organization is getting their head around those acronyms. And one of the great things I love about Cortex is really building that relational context around an acronym. We've had occasions where, for example, I'm used to the term MSP, Mega Managed Service Provider, and yet we have a whole group of people in Microsoft that to them, that's a Microsoft student partner. And so being able to build that context around who's talking about it and in what context they're talking about it alters that definition. It's not just as easy as building a knowledge base to say, hey, these three letters stands for this term.
Sonia, that's a perfect example of the power and the value of bringing AI to the substrate. Indeed, we find acronyms, we see where they're used, we see the context, and then in various things like Word, we'll have an acronym pane. And you can say, hey, here's what these things mean in this context. So, so useful, especially since, as you know, I moved from one position to doing this job. Boy, trying to learn all those acronyms was really a challenge.
Absolutely. So can you give me any other sort of examples about, say, the context of an enterprise? Like, how could a business use this with maybe a process that they've got to help sort of augment and help some of the human steps that we take?
Yeah. So we have a new team called the Modern Workplace Transformation. And what they do, they're sort of like a great example of the use of the graph and the SDK. And what they do is sort of two things. One is M365 Insights. So what they do is they take a look at what people are doing and then offer ways to say, hey, these people are more productive. What are their best practices? And then provide them. So for instance, we found that if you have very large standing meetings, long meetings with lots of people, they tend to have lower satisfaction than shorter meetings or meetings where there are fewer people. So we provide hints on that. Hey, do you really need all those people? Maybe you want to send a memo instead, things like that. The other is frontline worker support. Okay, so think of this. In retail, for every information worker, your traditional M365 user, there are 15 frontline workers. Okay, the people on the store floor trying to manage their work. Okay, and so now what these new tools do is they'll go do scheduling of those people. They have shifts. People can log in, say, hey, here's my shift. Can I change shifts with my coworker? Can I pick up another shift? You have communications. Imagine someone comes up to them in the store, like I did this once, and I said, hey, what about X? And there's a walkie-talkie application. It'll walkie-talkie. We'll go to a particular channel, electronics, and anyone can answer it. Once my wife and I were trying to buy a dryer, I asked the guy, hey, what's the difference between all these dryers? The guy said, the number of knobs. Clearly not a good answer. But imagine the same person said, well, hold on a second. Let me just go to my Teams channel here. And then a nationwide store could have one or two like world experts on applications, immediately hook up a video call with that person, answer all my questions. When I figure out what I want to do, then they say goodbye, and then the in-store person can help me complete my process. So again, the point is that with these APIs, we allow this just wide range of ecosystem of developers to do what? To help people be more productive. And in doing so, unlap a lot of productivity and value and make the world a better place.
It's such an exciting use of AI, because I think that when we hear that term AI, we tend to think of the robots taking over the world and building capabilities to replace what humans are doing, to replace call center operators or that kind of thing. But when you get into the depths of AI in that context of it actually being able to look and analyze things and surface productivity insights, it's a different angle that people don't normally associate straight with AI. But the capability that we've got and the impact that can have is so much bigger than just trying to replace people with machines. Jeffrey, I know that you hinted a little bit about modern workplace transformation, and I've heard a little rumor that your use of the Microsoft Graph and your role with that substrate is changing. What's the deal, Jeffrey?
Well, as of this morning, I have a new role. I'm the CTO of the Modern Workforce Transformation. So I will continue to work on the graph and the SDK, but I also be one of the first and best consumers of that.
Congratulations. Look, it's great to see the use of our senior technical people where they needed, and I know you're going to do great things in that role. Thank you so much for your time, Jeffrey.
Thank you, Sonia. Have a great build.